From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. It's good to have you listening in as we turn again to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 8 in our continuing series of studies in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking at Christ, the great physician of bodies and souls. And as we look at the events recorded in Matthew 8, with that subject in mind, we will particularly today return to the theme of the sovereignty of the Word of Christ. So stay with us as we look together at God's Word today. We start off, however, with our hot topic for the day, which takes us to the United Kingdom. Fewer British doctors willing to do abortions. Abortionists in Britain are in shock. The Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists has reported that an increasing number of young doctors are refusing to train to do abortions because of reservations about the morality of such work. Many simply realize that there's a stigma to being an abortionist. One doctor who was none too pleased with the trend had to admit that this stigma exists. She asked, "Who admits to friends at a dinner party that they're an abortionist?" Evidently, the number of doctors refusing to take abortion training is increasing to the point where the Department of Health is becoming worried. In the face of this development, pro-abortionists are now arguing that nurses should be trained and permitted to perform most abortions. Why nurses should decide to become the killers that doctors refuse to be is not at all clear, but the pro-abortion lobby insists that this step would make abortion even more available than it has been in the past. There's a blatant hypocrisy about the pro-abortion argument. For years, they argued for the need for the state-sponsored killing of the unborn as resting on an imperative to protect the mother. Only highly trained doctors could do the job. At least, they had to be on hand in the event of things going wrong. Now, however, rather than face declining abortion rates, they're willing to drop the standard and do away with the need to have a doctor at all. The next thing you know, they'll be arguing for the right to have home abortions. After all, if the procedure's as low-tech as they say, and if any nurse can safely perform it, why not allow the home health nurse to do the job? There's a lot in this story to be glad about, and a lot to be alarmed about. It's good news that at last many doctors are turning away from the ritual killing of the unborn. It's good that they feel a stigma attaching to such an unworthy occupation. But it's alarming that professional medical bodies are still wedded to the philosophy that undergirds the abortion movement. It's alarming that pro-abortionists are willing to drop medical standards to go to almost any length to continue and to expand the sickening work that many doctors are now refusing to do. There's more in play here than one's view of abortion. That's extremely important, but it's not the only issue. Abortionists are part of a bigger picture, and that's the picture of godless secularism, the determined attempt to remove from Western society every last semblance of the Christian foundation of its ethical system. That's the battle that's raging all around us. To win it, we need more than doctors refusing to do abortions, more even than laws to limit or outlaw abortion on demand. We need the intervention of God in grace to bring the light of the gospel to dispel the prevailing darkness that covers the earth. The Bible speaks of this darkness as gross darkness covering the people. Once again, we need the Almighty to give the command, let there be light. Even the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Let us never grow weary of battling the powers of darkness, or of crying to God to send forth His light and His truth in the power of His Spirit.
I will praise Him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each stain.
When I saw the cleansing fountain open wide for all my sin,
I obeyed the Spirit's wooing when He said, "Wilt thou be clean?" Though the way seemed straight and narrow, all I claimed was swept away. My ambitions, plans, and wishes at my feet in ashes lay. Blessed be the name of Jesus, I'm so glad He took me in. He's forgiven my transgressions, He has cleansed, oh, He has cleansed my heart from sin. Glory to the Father, glory, glory to the Son, glory, glory to the Spirit, glory to the Three in One. I will praise Him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each stain. I will praise Him, praise Him.
Each month, Let the Bible Speak produces what we simply call the Let the Bible Speak monthly tape, or CD for those who prefer it. This is a sort of electronic magazine, and it's a very useful thing to have. For example, some older folk may have difficulty reading a magazine, but they can listen to a tape or CD. Another example, some people are pushed for time, but have time as they drive here and there in their car, and a good tape can be a means not only of making the journey more pleasant, but of spiritual blessing to their hearts. The Let the Bible Speak monthly tape or CD has an exposition of Scripture, a devotional message, and a testimony or missionary segment, all with some good Christian music. Our monthly tape or CD is available to you free of charge if you simply write or call and request it, and I hope you will. I know it will be a blessing to your heart, so get in touch today. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you.
Come ye disconsolate, where'er ye languish, come to the mercy seat, fervently near. tent, faithless and pure. He speaks the Comforter, tenderly saying, earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot cure. Here see the bread of life, see waters flowing forth from the throne of God, pure from above. Come to the feast of love. Come ever knowing, earth has no sorrow, but heaven can remove.
We now return to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, to continue our study in the subject Christ, the great physician of bodies and souls. Looking at this, we have talked about the sympathy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we move on to think a little further of a subject we started yesterday, and that is the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ, as manifested in the events of Matthew chapter 8. Let's turn then to God's Word.
If he wills to do something, he can do it. The devil can't stop him. The world can't stop him. Politicians can't stop him. Acts of Congress can't stop him. All the armies of earth and hell combined can't stop him. If he wills, he can. That's the confidence here. That's one of the assurances we need when we're coming to pray. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you're coming to God, you must know that he's able to answer prayer. If he wills to do it, he can do it. And of course, the great assurance we need to have is, not only is he able, he is willing. He is willing to answer prayer. You go through the things that the New Testament tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to do and able to do, and it will be a great encouragement to you to come and lay your needs before him in prayer. Let's get to the very basic things, the most fundamental things of all. What do I need fundamentally as a sinner born of Adam's race? I need my heart dealt with. I need my sin dealt with. I need my relationship with God dealt with. I need to be reconciled, justified, forgiven, saved for all eternity. That's the basic need of any man, woman, or child. Born into this world in sin, tottering on the edge of the lake of fire, and with no hope or help in me or in those around about me, I need Christ to be able and Christ to be willing to save. Is he able? Is he able to save? Bible says he's able to save to the uttermost, to the end, to absolute perfection. He's absolutely able to save. Well, is he willing to save? Is he willing? It's a question that plagues so many people. Is he really willing to do it? And so many people going around thinking, and I have had to deal with them over the years. I remember years back when I was in Ballymoney, a little village outside the town there, Presbyterian family, a covenanting family. And though they were so religious and so much of Bible reading and so many hours spent in prayer and so much of religious reading and singing of psalms, those are all good things. But they don't save. The poor young woman there, almost demented. She could not come to Christ because she'd been taught to believe. She had to know that she was among the eternally elect before she could come. And how could she ever know that? Man, that's a devil's gospel. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm never told in God's word to go and find if I'm elect before I come to Christ. I'm told to come to Christ as a sinner, and when I come, then thank God I'll know that He did the work because of His own eternal purpose. Of course, there are hypocrites hiding behind the decree of God as an excuse for their own sin. They don't want to come to Christ, but they want to blame God. If you're not saved this morning, I want you to understand this. He's willing to save all that come unto God by Him. He's willing, He's able, and waiting. And if you're not saved this morning, blame nobody but yourself. Because if you're not willing to come, that's your will. That's your sin. But oh, I'm here to tell you, where there's a poor, burdened sinner, where there's a sinner convicted of his sin, and he realizes he's worthy of hell and he can do nothing to escape it, Jesus Christ is able to save. And He's willing to save. If thou wilt, thou canst. And He says, I will, be thou clean. The sovereignty of the will of Jesus Christ. And once you're saved, you can, as I said, you can make that the basis of much of your praying. You can face any situation. Say, Lord, Thy will be done. You are sovereign in Your will. And once you've got a grip of the will of God, this is the key to all praying. If you read about George Mueller and how the simple way that he sought to come to know the will of God in any situation, this was the key to his prayer life. When you know the will of God, then you can come, Lord, say, this is Your will. Your will is utterly, absolutely, totally sovereign. And there's nothing can overthrow it. When you know you're in the will of God, when you can really append the name and merit and authority of the name of Jesus Christ to what you're praying, you'll have what you ask because His will is sovereign. Quickly, let me remark upon the authority of Christ's word. It's an interesting theme that runs through these healings. He rebuked the unclean spirit, and the unclean spirit immediately left the man in the synagogue. He stood over Peter's wife's mother, and he rebuked her fever, and the fever left her immediately. All it took was a word. At one word, Satan was defeated. At one word, disease was healed. You see, what he speaks is done, because he's God manifested in the flesh. I was thinking of this, and I realize you could get into talking mystical, philosophical gobbledygook here. And I don't want to do that. But we're limited by reality. Reality is what's standing around us, and that limits us. In that sense, the Lord Jesus, of course, was not limited by reality. The disease was real, it didn't limit Him. The devil possession was real, it didn't limit Him. Rather, the Lord Jesus Christ changed what was there to create a new reality. That's what He can still do. The centurion believed that. He said, "Speak the word only and my servant shall be healed." Your word is a creating word. It's a powerful word. It's a word of authority. It's a word that changes what is into what God wants it to be. It's the word of Christ. It's the authority of His word. And you know, I believe with all my heart that that has never changed. I know it has never changed. How do I know it? Well, He created all things by the word of His power. Hebrews 1 tells me He is upholding all things by the word of His power. So that word is still in operation. I turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and I read that the word of God is living and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. This is a living, powerful word. One of the great curses that has overtaken us in the Christian church is that we have relegated the Word of God to being spots of ink on a page. Now, I believe the Bible, the written Bible, is the Word of God. I'm going to fly in the face of all the canons of so-called biblical criticism when I say this. The critics tell us that you've got to examine the text of Scripture and you've got to examine the literary forms of Scripture and all the rest of it as you would any other book, and I tell you that is a satanic delusion. How can you treat this like any other book when there's no other book in the history of the world like it? This is God's Word. It is even in translation, and this is the uniqueness of God's Word. It is a living Word. It is heresy to say simply that the Bible was inspired. That's heresy. The Bible is inspired. It is a living Word. The breath of God is in it. That means the power of God is in it. The authority of God is in it. How dare we then treat it and read it the way we read a book of fairy tales? The way we read the sports section in the Greenville News? How dare we simply skim over it? How dare we dismiss it? How dare we treat it as we do? It's God's Word. There's authority in this. Is Jesus still speaking today? Yes, He is. How is He speaking? Revelation tells us again and again and again. This is the Christ of heaven speaking from the throne of heaven. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And what was He talking about? He was talking about the written Word of God. Is He still talking? Is He still speaking? Yes, He is. This is a living, vibrant Word. It speaks to the hearts of men and women. It speaks to the needs of men and women. It speaks with the authority of heaven here on earth. The Bible changed the history of the world. The Bible changed the nature of heathen nations. The Bible gave us, though we have misused the gift, the Bible gave us what we think of as Western civilization. Every good thing we enjoy is because of the power of that Word. Now, like lunatics, we want to take the blessing and throw away the cause. It's what the nation's doing. And it will throw away the cause and it will throw away the blessings with it. The authority of this Word. If anything's ever going to be done that's worth doing in America, it'll not be done by act of Congress or decision of the Supreme Court, or they may come aboard. It will be done by the power of the Word of God. That's the only way.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.